When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and this morning I am going to be joined by Jerry Taylor and Asim Rabbani for the Axon Bulletin. Both the guys are just getting themselves tidied up. Jerry's just doing his hair. I can see him laughing in the green room. Here we go, Jerry Taylor, there you are.
Hello, sorry mate. I've been sitting here for about 15 minutes, but I was yapping to the missus and then...
Things happen, distracted. Asim has already been in the building. He'll be coming back in just a moment. We have a triple header today. It's Jerry, Asim and myself, and we are here to talk all things Celtic for the next hour. It's great to see so many of you tuning in. Hopefully we can hear from you as well. There's Asim tuning in, cracking backdrop from the big fella as well. Loads to discuss.
Hold on, I've got a brand new backdrop, right? I'm very excited about it, and I've not even got a mention. As soon as Asim pops up,
I was coming to that. Jerry.
Can I
ask, has that been done as a ticket, like in a style of a ticket?
Aye.
Right?
I like that. Looks
Megan
classy.
Got me this for my birthday. That's my season ticket.
That's really good.
I love it.
Jerry Taylor, Team Celtic FC zone, living room area, sofa, because that's where we watch most of the games. So Megan's done a wee setup for me now. It's
You've
good,
celebrated it. You're absolutely embracing it. Well done, Jerry. Listen, loads to talk about, lads, obviously, with the game. Jerry, you were with me yesterday, but you dropped out on the full time. So there's plenty to talk about on the reaction to the game. And Asim, again, we had a good catch up. Well, a very brief catch up, actually, on Thursday, but. Start off by telling us about your Thursday night. I was hearing we got a bit of a shout-out from Martin O'Neill on Talk Sport this morning, by all accounts.
Thursday night was brilliant. I didn't hear that this morning, but what an absolute gentleman Martin is. Courtesy of Jerry, I managed to get a nice wee picture with the big man as well. He's just a proper gent, lovely to talk to, makes time for everyone, and a proper comedian, isn't he? His delivery is brilliant. such good humour and wit, and just the stories. It was such a good night. You know, I said it to the guys there on the night as well. That's kind of my era when I first started supporting Celtic properly and got really invested in it. I said as much to Martin Neal. My first kind of season ticket, full season ticket, was his first season, and what a season to have it. He just brought so many good memories. He transformed the club. You think of that iconic speech outside the stadium. To this day, it gives you goosebumps. And just listening to him kind of recount all his career, even prior to Celtic, and then obviously the second half of the show where he really got into the Celtic stuff and the stories. And it was just an all-round great night and a true kind of legend. And, you know, like I say, to this day, my kind of favourite Celtic manager. And it was good to see some of the other guys there. First time meeting Jerry in person, actually. That was quite an experience as well.
Cuddled in there,
It was a proper bear hug. And then I managed to see kind of Chris and Lloyd, Lawrence, Jim, and then obviously caught up with yourself at the end, Paul John. But another great night and a brilliant job from yourself hosting. But yeah, Martin just makes it so easy as well, doesn't he? He's got so much to say, and he delivers it so well.
He does. You're absolutely right. So Jerry is making connections. He's breaking ranks. He's getting you into the zone with Martin O'Neill, which is tremendous. I've seen the pictures, superb. But I also saw pictures from yesterday, and a big shout out to Chris McElwain, Double Denim.
Yeah.
Who went on the kilt walk for Wee Jamie Tierney, and he raised over £700. So thanks everybody for supporting Chris and his endeavours, supporting Wee Jamie. We raised £1,000 on Thursday night for the wee guy, and I know that his mum and dad are so appreciative and grateful for everybody's support. So thanks everybody. That's a great way to start the show. It's a Monday afternoon, and a few weeks ago, Jerry, we were talking about how we can gauge how Celtic's title push is going with our mood on a Monday. How is our mood today?
The mood's good. The mood is good. You know what? See if you'd... It's the same kind of performance we've been putting in that we've been moaning about, but it just feels different this time because we're allowing it, because there's only a few games left and we know that we're just dragging ourselves over this line. I feel really positive this morning. Like I said in the show yesterday, it's like we're ticking them off game by game now. By hook or by crook, we got through that one. I didn't feel like when the other games, like, oh, I think Dundee are going to come back and win this one, even towards the end with the added time. It wasn't as squeaky bum time as it's been before. So to me, yesterday, it was a job well done. Dundee have been given a torrid time to many teams in the league throughout the season. So we've got to give credit to a lot of these teams. They have been making it a lot tougher to win. Obviously, we've not been as great, which helps other teams. But yeah, I'm positive going forward. Four more to go.
Well, this is it. I mean, I was up at Celtic Park this morning, as always, on a Monday morning, doing my wander round paradise. And I was talking about that, the fact that we're going to have so many of the cliches coming out between now and the end of the season, ticking the games off one game at a time. But that is how we're feeling. And Brendan Rodgers was talking like that after the game, I seen. Not a vintage Celtic performance.
Yep.
He was talking about, listen, it's not about what it looks like at the moment. It's about getting the 3 points. And I totally get that. But I would rather we did it a wee bit more convincingly. I think that was the thing yesterday, right? So I thought we started off pretty well in the first 10, 15 minutes. We were creating chances. And then Dundee came back at us. And actually, I felt as though they had a foothold in the game when James has scored the goal. And this is the point I'm making it happen, right? So I think in the past this season, we've had games where nobody's made it happen. And it's in these games that we've dropped points. We've really struggled to break sides down. And I think James, he'd done it on a few occasions, actually, but particularly for the two goals. So he takes a shot, which was a speculative shot, out of nowhere, brilliant finish, right? And he opens the scoring. The second goal, it was him that went and won the ball last season. There was so much. For me, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, when you're talking about a winning mentality, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Grabbing a game by the scruff of the neck and saying, right, I've got this, I'm going to make it happen. And Forrest epitomised that for me yesterday.
Yeah, a special shout out to Jamesy, because I'll hold my hands up. There was points earlier this season where I didn't have the foresight of the man above me there, Jerry, who kind of is always backed him, fair play. I just didn't see where his contributions were coming from. You know, I look back at games and I was like, I just didn't see that. But, you know, fair play. In the last 3-4 weeks, any time he's came on or he started now, he looks like the old Jamesy. You know, he looks fresh, he looks direct, he's running at people. He's the one that's taking the responsibility and making things happen. So I think credit to both the manager, but obviously first and foremost, James himself. He's came in at a time where we've really needed our leaders, and it looks like he, you know, he's by all accounts, you know, off the pitch, he's quite unassuming and he goes about his business. He's not one that hogs the limelight or anything like that. But you sometimes question that even on the pitch. You're like, does he take the games by the scruff of the neck when he needs to? And these last few weeks, he really has. He's really shown that he's the one that some of these other players who are in there and they've not been able to deliver. James has came on and made a difference. You look at last week in the cup game and then again yesterday, two really well-taken goals. The first one was brilliant, you know, a really brilliant finish. So I'm very kind of happy with James, and I think he deserves a lot of credit because a lot of people had probably written him off in terms of what his contributions can be this season. And you look at it now, you know, he played a big factor in getting us to a final, and he played a massive factor in getting us those 3 points yesterday. I, like you, thought we started the game pretty well. First 10, 15 minutes, I thought we started with a good tempo, had a good couple of openings. Kuhn looked bright early on, I thought, in the right-hand side. We had that kind of chance with Taylor's header at the back post. And then, as we've seen kind of throughout the season, the kind of inconsistencies, and we gradually come out of games. So I think yesterday was, again, another microcosm of what we've seen, which has been spells where it's good and then spells where we look really slack. And I think the second half, for the first 15, 20 minutes, Dundee really had a foothold in the game. But we managed to get the job done again, and I think that's going to be the theme. And that's where I'm similar to Jerry, that it's just a case of getting over the line now. And that was one of our two away games. So you look at it now, we've got three home and one away. And that's a positive position to be in. And essentially, we're two home games away from winning the league. You know, you can't argue with that. So it's similar to last week in terms of, we said that there are frailties, there are concerns. But if we keep on getting the job done, that's all we can ask for at this stage. And then we can do the inquest at the end of the season, if need be. But for now, I'll take four more wins like that. Obviously, we'd rather it be more comfortable. We'd rather it be less nervy. And we're hoping maybe Hearts at home next week, we can do that. But, you know, if you offer me four more games like that, and as long as we win, I'll take it.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm really keen to get the comments coming up today, because it is one step closer to that league title. And as Asim was saying, I'll take it all day long. I think there's a revenge mission against Hearts. Then we've got the obvious needle against Rangers. Then another revenge mission against Kilmarnock. So you've got a wee bit of needle with all those three games, Jerry. But I'm going to say this, right? And it's not about blowing your own trumpet. I'm blowing your trumpet as such.
Oh, blow away.
What I've seen today is everybody's talking about Jamesy. Everybody's blogging about Jamesy. Everybody's doing it today.
Oh, aye.
But to be fair to you, Jerry Taylor, you were shouting from the rooftops just a few weeks ago about Jamesy Forrest and what he brings to the squad and what he could do between now and the end of the season. And I think it was even uttered on a Celtic State of Mind. He's going to score a big goal for us this season. Well, it happened yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah. And here, I don't get much right on here. So when I do, I am going to go
milk it.
I'm going to milk it. I mean, who am I? I mean, I'm not going to blog about it, because I already did, and I said that this was going to happen. Now, I've also got to be honest as well, because somebody will find one of the episodes. Ask him, mate, I had Jamesy Boy written off probably last season and the start of this season. I remember going to his testimonial game, and they were joking. Somebody made a joke, and it was funny at the time, but it kind of summed it up. And I think they'd brought Jamesy off in whatever minute it was. What number's Jamesy got in his shirt again?
49.
So we took him off in 49 minutes, and some guy went, I wish he was number two. In other words, he was when I'm taking off. So a lot of people thought, right, this is going to be his last. Now, the reason that I'm so supportive over him now, I think, is by default, because I've gone full circle on the wingers that we've had at our disposal this season just haven't been cutting it. So by default, we've gone full circle to James. Then you start to analyse it again. And when he did start to come on, you started to see the glimpses of the player that he was. Maybe not with the pace or the endurance to last the game. So he's proven us all wrong, because I'd written him off as well. I was just lucky enough to start writing him back on before everyone else had the chance to do it. But he's been outstanding. And like I love it, he uses that word, buzzing. He's just buzzing. You never see him moan about it. You never see him throwing strops on the bench or on the pitch. He just goes about his job. And do you know what? If Jamesy Forrest wins this title and proves every single one of us wrong, I'm here for it all.
I'm seeing a lot of chat of Jerry for First Minister on the comments as well now. So.
Don't get me involved in that.
Listen, we could write your speeches for you in the background. And the thing with Jamesy as well, what I like about him, looking back, you know, when you're growing up, right, and you enter a specific period and you already are aware of guys, in my era, you were aware of guys like Paul McStay, Peter Grant, Tommy Burns, Roy Aiken, Pat Bonner, who had been at the club for years, but you hadn't enjoyed the full development because you hadn't seen them breaking through in the 70s or the early 80s. With Jamesy Forrest, like, you know, you've seen his debut. You've seen the whole thing in front of you, the whole story, the whole journey, 15 years. And I will never tire of going through some of the the stats, right? 22 trophies he's won at Celtic. That's astonishing, right? Now, I'm not counting my chickens, but we do have two trophies to play for between now and the end of the season. Five games, and we can win a double. That would take him to only second to Bobby Lennox in terms of the most decorated Celtic player in the history of the club. And when you think of the legends, right? People tell me, oh, he's not a legend. James Forrest, never a legend. Well, you name all your legends, every legend that you can imagine, right? And the only guy that's won more trophies than James A. Forrest is Bobby Lennox. Let that one sink in. And that was a guy who played for about 42 years, right? He was still playing in 1980, Jerry. He was still playing in 1980. And he made his debut in the early 60s. 15 seasons, we know the stats. He scored in every single season that he's played in. I've now got him as 489 appearances. I heard the Celtic TV guy saying it was 491. Don't know who's wrong. Don't know who's the biggest anorak. 108 goals, 102 assists. Now, the word legend, I seem it's hard. It's hard to define. He's got to be regarded as that. Maybe he won't be in real time. It may be after the event.
No, 100%. I think he'll be aiming for that 500 number, won't he? That'll be some landmark to reach. He's close. He'll probably be just shy of it by about five or six probably this season. But yeah, look, it's easy for us, obviously, after the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm not going to try to rewrite because, you know, there'll be clips of me saying this earlier in the season that I thought his time's up.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But you're right in terms of contribution. You know, I was there on his debut. I remember him coming on. Was it under Neil Lennon? I remember it being a 4 or 5-0 win at home. I can't remember who it was against, but
Motherwell.
It was Motherwell. There you go. So you've been there. You've seen it all. Yeah, you remember all the good moments. You know, a couple that spring to mind: Shakhtar, Karagandy. You know, the goal in there and to take us through. So. He's come through a bit of stick in the last couple of years, and that's natural. Obviously, as players get older, their contribution gets less, and you know, as fans, you kind of forget the better moments. But you know, when all's done, I'm sure we'll all reflect back and really, really value his contributions. You've seen the turnout for his testimonial. You've seen even yesterday, you know, when he's gone over and they're trying to get him to celebrate. You see how kind of unassuming he is. He's not one that likes the limelight. He's not one that's all for the social media and all the posts and all that kind of stuff. He's quietly gone about his business. He's Celtic daft. And as Jerry says, he's just buzzing to be contributing still. And I think that's what he'll really be taking. And you can see that kind of joy back in his game, where there may have been points in the last season or year or so where he's probably just gutted that he's not been contributing. You know, that's what will be getting to him, whether it's injuries, whether it's just he's not got that sharpness. But I've seen a real different James Forrest in the last few weeks, where he looks like he's got that hunger, that energy back. And, you know, if we're going to get this double done, I think he's going to be a big, big contributor in that. And there's no higher praise than that, that he's at 32, he's probably still one of our more effective players going into this running now.
Yeah, and you're right about that profile, Asim. And in the modern day, it must be very difficult, Jerry, because players will be pressurised by their agents, by their sponsors, to have like a social media presence, to get out there and push themselves and all this kind of stuff. He's never done that. Callum McGregor has never, ever done that. These guys are role models for young players coming through at Celtic. They're also, for me, very influential for guys coming into the club who don't know what Celtic's all about. They don't know what it means to so many people. And they maybe don't have that winning mentality we keep banging on about. And I think both Forrest and McGregor in their early days, each of them had at least one misdemeanour where they were in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. But they got over that. I think Forrest was probably pretty glad when Tony Stokes left Celtic. But anyway, they got over it, and now they're model professionals, Jerry. These are the guys that I think did Brendan Rodgers call them like a father figure. These are the guys that the young guys are now looking up to at Celtic Park, and it's incredible when you've seen, like Arsene says, you've seen Jamesy as a fresh-faced 17-year-old making his debut, or you were at the game, if you were lucky, because it was an away game, that Callum McGregor broke through under Ronnie Dyler. And we've seen it like go right through that journey, and now they're veterans, and they're the kind of senior pros in the Celtic dressing room. But personally, as a Celtic fan, I'm glad that they're the role models, that type of player with that type of approach to the game and to the his life outside the game as well, Jerry.
Yeah. And like you say, the best types of role model to have. You don't see Jamesy Forrest growling and spitting and snarling on the park. You don't always need that. He's obviously got a good head about him. When I was, when we name drop coming up, when I was lucky enough to interview Scott Brown a few weeks ago, that was when he was talking about the young players coming through at Air United. A lot of them had good heads on them. And he used, obviously, the examples of Callum McGregor and James Forrest as two boys that will probably be there forever, that love the club, that get it, that realise it's not all about being a big superstar. You've got to put the hard work in first before it. And look at James Forrest. He's put all that hard work in over the years, but he's never acted like that superstar. He's just gone about his job, gone about his life. The odd wee misdemeanour that not proven and all that. I'm from his town, so I know all the rumours and I know what actually happened. So, but he's just got through it all. And time and time again, he's been written off and he keeps coming back. The Phoenix, eh?
The Phoenix from the Flames, yeah.
If he keeps up his form, you wonder as well if he's got a chance with a Scotland call-up.
The memes James Forrest were beer saying guten tag and all that, ready to go. So
this was a chat after the game yesterday, and I know, listen, people may be saying, come on, move on, it's 20 minutes in. But I just think a player like James Forrest has to be celebrated. And they have been talking about it. You know, he was questioned about whether or not he's got a holiday booked up last season over the summer and all this kind of stuff. Maybe a bridge too far for Jamesy. Why do you think he divides opinion so much, Asim?
From a Celtic point of view, I think there's maybe been a question mark over certain big games in the past where, you know, you look like there's been numerous times, maybe Ibrox away and stuff like that, Rangers games, where he's not fully grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck or taken that kind of, he's not really had that massive impact in European games. And I say that, obviously, I know I mentioned the Karagandy one, I think there was Bayern Munich as well, he was good in. So I'm not saying there aren't examples, like why he scored against Rangers in a 1-0 win, I'm sure for under Rodgers as well, or maybe Lennon, but I think it's just more in general when it comes to kind of consistency in those big games. He's maybe not fully had that big, massive moment. And likewise with wingers, you know that with age, you know, that the main thing is their speed and their ability to take players on. So that's obviously diminished a little in recent years. But there's a reason why the likes of Ange just still kept them there. And then now Rodgers, I remember him name dropping him at the start of the season, how it's important to have players like him in the background. And the way it's been timed that he's really came to the fore towards the end of the season. You remember Rodgers maybe a few weeks back saying that James Forrest is the best winger at the club. We all kind of joked about it at the time and laughed and was like, where's that came from? But you kind of see it now, because when push comes to shove, when we're really needing people to step up, he's the one that's doing it more than your Yangs and your Palmas. So, you know, there's something to be said about that as well. So I think, yeah, look, it's... He's still got life in him yet, and you never know if he carries on this form. You're right. There could be clamour for him to get on that flight to Germany as well.
That would be tremendous. Stephen Sloan, welcome to the show. It's good to see you, pal. A ball boy is sent off. You would have loved this, Jerry. Did you know just what? Did you
I
see
was
it?
Watching it. I retweeted it when it happened because I was watching the game.
Incredible. It's sent off for not giving a Rangers player the ball. Actually, I felt a bit sorry for him because he was escorted away like a naughty schoolboy afterwards.
With the smile on his face as he's escorted out. He knew all eyes were on him and that was going to get him queued up. Get him signed up, get him over to Paradise.
It was quite iconic with the old Travis Bickle hairdo and all that, just sitting there with a smirk on his face. I loved it. Joe Hart is booked for time-wasting. The bias in this country towards Rangers and against us is plain to see. And it's shocking. Now, Stephen, we have said all season and prior to that that it's important to call out anything you're unhappy with in terms of refereeing. when you win, it's just as important to do that because it's not about sour grapes and all the rest of it. And a few people are saying, oh, you've gone quiet on the refs and everything recently. Well, I'll tell you something, right? See the John Beaton thing? The fact that just about every single game, if not every game that we're involved in, he's played a part since we complained about him, right? That's the first issue that I think you've got to raise, because that's not consistent with other examples of a referee having a complaint against him and thereafter never refereeing or being involved in a game involving that club. And then, you know, you look at these stats regarding the amount of fouls that Celtic have committed versus the amount of fouls the opposition that are committing, Jerry. The amount of yellow cards we get versus opposition. The opposition cannot be booked. Now, these are things, right, that are not as obvious, you know, when you're watching a game as such. But these yellow cards can tally up. We could lose a player through suspension for one of these massively important games between now and the end of the season. And that's the bit. That's the bit that's annoying. It's almost like a hidden influence by the referee. He's not getting any better. That's my point, Jerry. He's definitely not getting any better. There's a couple of images of players with high boots, for example, against Celtic players, no bookings, no sending offs. And it is frustrating because we're not looking for any kind of special treatment here. We're just looking for consistency, Jerry.
Consistency, exactly. Now, he's being clever because these decisions that aren't getting made aren't like the massive big decisions, but there are enough to disrupt a game going unnoticed. When you look at the other game, I don't want to do this whole, oh, he said, she said type kind of analysis of it, but they should have lost a player yesterday and had them suspended for the same reasons that we lost Joe Hart. I felt like they weren't getting a lot of the decisions looked at. Some of the, I felt there was maybe three possible handballs in one of the other games, but they weren't even looked at. Whether they were handballs or not, I don't know, but the fact they weren't even looked at is such a high game towards the end of the game as well. So I think you see it, and we're just getting used to it now, aren't we? We're just kind of expecting it. The good thing was he wasn't given a chance yesterday to make any of those big decisions against us. Yep. When it came to the Joe Hart thing, what I will say was I was a bit frustrated that Joe Hart was time-wasting. I don't like Celtic players time-wasting, no matter what the game is. See, if we're playing AC Milan or something, I get it. I'm just no used to it. And is this a snobbery from me? I do not like seeing Celtic trying to waste time. I'd rather see us going for the kill at the end. And I know that's maybe daft and it's risky because of the way we've been playing. We probably need to do that. But I'm just no used to it. I liked Joe Hart doing it as a wind-up more than anything because he's bamming everyone up the last few games of the season. He knows he's on his way out. He is an up-year bam-up. So I think he did deserve a yellow card for the booking because they let him away with it the first time. But the second time round, I thought, aye, fair play. So credit... carry on, sorry.
No, it's a good point, Jerry, because obviously Joe Hart gets a booking. And another 30 seconds is added on to the injury time, as seen. And then another 30 on top of that. So it extended the game by a minute. And although I agree with Jerry, and I don't like kind of like histrionics and all the rest of it from Celtic players, it's about consistency. And I wonder if the same decision would be made if it wasn't Joe Hart and it wasn't the Celtic goalie. And I think that's the frustration, as seen.
Yeah, did you say that it's the first time a goalkeeper has been booked all season for time wasting?
Somebody,
I think I've read that somewhere.
Pointed out, wait a minute, it was either the Motherwell or the Killy goal had been booked three times or something. By the way, you see them doing it in the first half against us all the time.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to say the amount of times at Celtic Park you see time wasting blatantly ignored, you know, and it's happened, like you say, from as early as the first half, let alone deep into injury time. So that is baffling that if that's, you know, one of the rare occasions where a goalkeeper is booked and it happens to be one of ours, given what we're kind of up against most weeks. And point to Jerry's, I don't like seeing it either, but at the same time, I think there's a balance to be had. There are times where I'm baffled at how quick Joe Hart takes a goal kick to someone right next to him, and you're just like, a bit of game management. You know, he's taking quick free kicks at a time where we're sometimes under pressure. And so I think there's a balance to be had. I don't like it sometimes when he does that, because you feel like, slow the game down, we're under a bit of pressure. But then the other extreme is you don't want to see us, you know, wasting too much time or making it blatant. And you'd rather just us being more comfortable, obviously, at that stage. But I think there is something to be said about managing a game out better. And that's something we've said about for a few weeks now. Again, yesterday, it just felt like in the last 5 minutes, we could have managed that a bit better. We've seen it out, but I still thought, you know, you're giving them too many set pieces, you're giving them free kicks, throw-ins. It just seems like something that we're going to have to deal with from now until the end of the season, because it's been far too many games now where we're, you know, as Jerry said, it wasn't quite like, there weren't any clear-cut chances, but still, you know, we put ourselves in a bit of danger towards the end of the game. So you want to see us see things out a bit smoother when it comes to the tail end of games. And that includes things like, you say, you know, being a bit more savvy over free kicks, goal kicks, things like that.
No, you're right. I think savvy is the good word to use on that one, because sometimes I think we lack a bit of that, particularly on a European stage where you come up against European teams who would do anything to win a game, and we've never really played that game, and we look a bit naive at times. Last week, you know, we were talking about who we could possibly give the Tim of the Week award to, and it was Toby Perkins, you'll remember. Jerry Taylor, of course, the star and writer and director, sorry, not writer, director of Singing I'm Not a Billy, She's a Tim. Just last year it was, I think, Jerry.
It was,
just last year, right. So, Tim of the Week last week was Toby Perkins. This week, are we going to give it to the wee St Mirren ball boy, do you think?
What's definitely.
I don't know what his name is, but... Listen, I'd have given it to him just for the haircut, never mind what he did with the ball. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. And we're talking about Jamesy Forrester. I'm going to take you back, guys. I'm going to take you back 6 years, okay? On this day, 6 years ago, Mikael Lustig was bouncing about with a police hat on. Celtic beat Rangers.
What a memory that is.
You remember that, man. Celtic beat Rangers 5-0, and we wrapped up seven in a row that day. Seven in a row, right? I'm going to ask you from memory, the five goals, Asim, can you remember who scored the five goals for Celtic?
Oh, Odson Edward got a couple. James Forrest scored an absolute cracker. Stuart Armstrong.
He didn't on this day.
No.
We've got three.
Tom Rogic scored one, I'm sure.
He did.
Just after half time. And who's the other one?
The player who finished the scoring off, he scored in the 53rd minute.
Because I remember we spive up, and I remember everyone at the end being like, we should have gone double figures that day. It was heading that way. But
can I just say that's a great memory from Asim, by the way. He was not prepared for me asking him this question.
glad you haven't asked me that one.
It was the captain, Callum McGregor. Captain.
I was going to say that.
Can't remember that goal. I remember all the other goals. I just can't remember that one.
Glad you didn't ask me. I'd have been like, no leash.
But I mean, listen, 5-0, right, for a team managed by Brendan Rodgers, obviously. But the reason I'm bringing it up is, of course, it was 6 years ago today, but it also showed you the domination that Celtic kind of held at that point over a Rangers side who were third in the table at this stage of the season, right?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Celtic team, managed by Brendan Rodgers, I'm going to read it out to you because it's incredible how much this has changed. So Craig Gordon was in goals. Lustig was at right back with Tierney at left back. Boyata and Ayer, central defenders. Wow. We've then got Ncham, Brown and Rogic with Forrest, Edward and McGregor. What a side. That's a great side.
It's funny because I know a lot of people said at the start of the season, oh, Rodgers is inheriting a better squad this time. But in hindsight, when we look back now at that team and what we're kind of finishing with this season, I think it's safe to say that it's not, because you look at some of those players and where they're playing now and how influential they were. That was a real good side. And you're right, Rangers were third. So I think we clinched the league that season against Aberdeen, essentially. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't again, like, we won the league, but it wasn't, you know, the competition wasn't Rangers. So who knows, in 2 weeks' time, it could be against them if they drop points next week. One game at a time, obviously, but I'm sure a lot of our fans are potentially looking ahead to that one.
Well, I wouldn't like to see Asim, but that is one of the reasons I brought it up. I imagine we did it again. But yeah, I do think it's a good point you make. The team that Brendan Rodgers inherited, and then obviously he tinkered with it, and some of the signings he made were tremendous. I do feel was a very strong group of players. And the reason that James A. Forrest is stepping up now, and I think this is a point that's been brought up in the comments section, Jungle Line brings it up, Forrest doing his thing only highlights more the ridiculous recruitment, because, you know, you've already mentioned it already, he was almost written off, he was almost airbrushed out of this season. Why is he playing? Well, he's playing because we've got two guys on the bench who have both had game time, in Yang and Palmer. And Forrest has been deemed more of an asset at this moment in time. Now, Jerry, it can work two ways, right? There's only so many seasons he can play for. This might be his last. I don't know what the future holds for James Forrest, right? But we've got two guys there who were brought in, two wingers. We've also got Kuhn on the right, who, as Asim says, I think he started off really well and he looked as though he was full of intent. He faded badly for me. And you've got a guy in Tellio who's away out on loan. Whether or not he comes back, who knows? We just don't have the quality, have we, with regards to the recruitment? I mean, Maeda's injured. When he comes back, he waltzes right back into that starting 11. But it's disappointing, Jerry, at this stage, going into May, going into the last four games of the season, and it's a proper title fight, that we don't have sufficient backup when we've actually bought four wingers this season.
Yeah, it's very telling. And I don't want to be unfair on Kuhn, and I do think he deserves another crack at it next season. But I think we're getting so excited about him at times, or some of us were, because we're comparing him to all the other wingers that we've got this season, which haven't been great. But if you compare him to the great wingers we've had over the years, like, is he anywhere near the class of Jota? Absolutely not. I don't think so. So I think even we're being kind of duped with his performances as well. I'm not keen on him right now. Maeda, when he comes on, outstanding, but he's also comes with these issues of being able to put a quality cross into the box, but we're allowing that just now because everything else that he gives to us. All round this season, the winger situation has just been, it's not been great. There's been a lot of stop starts, a lot of false starts. We think, oh, Palmer, he's the one with a great couple of games, and then falls off the cliff. Yang, great couple of games. Doesn't he just fall off the cliff? He absolutely bomb dives off the cliff in some of the games he's played. So aye, we've just, it's been a nightmare. And the fact that we're still sitting top, we're still in the Scottish Cup final, we still had a better record than Ange Postecoglou in the Champions League. I'm just really excited to see what we can do when we have a team with that quality, with the wingers that we need, that click, that have got the bravery. I think the thing with James Forrest, when you watched him, he looked confident he could get by that man or win that second ball. When we watch some of our wingers, we know what they're going to do before they do a lot of the time, and there's just no confidence in that play. So we need quality on top of confidence next season. But we've got what we've got just now, and enough to get us over the line. Enough to get us over the line. But
that's the mentality that I'm taking. That's the view I'm taking. I mean, the subs that came on that day we beat Rangers 5-0 were Scott Sinclair, Lee Griffiths, and Jack Hendry. Jack Hendry, Drakenbauer, as he's known. There was three players in the squad, I seen. Three players who are still with us. Three players who were in the squad yesterday. And it was obviously James Forrest and Callum McGregor, who you've already mentioned. But Scott Bain. And Scott Bain, right, has now appeared 200 times as an unused substitute for Celtic. Is that a record?
It must be, surely.
What a job, mate.
Someone out there must be making fun of that.
Seriously, man. I mean, he must be good in the dressing room. He absolutely must be good in the dressing room. Double denim. Afternoon to you. I hope your blisters are okay, Chris, after yesterday. Hope everything is well. Could only see the highlights, but looks like it was a clear grind out win. But yeah, it was. Sometimes you've got to take the ugly wins, but it's three more points and on we go. Yeah. 100%, even from the highlights, you've managed to get a sense of what it was like yesterday, Chris. Asim, in terms of what I said the other week, Celtic having to score three goals a game, this was twofold. The first part of that was we are likely to have a bad decision against us. And the second part of that was we aren't very good at defending, and in particular one area of that defence. Aberdeen targeted us last week and they got two goals out of putting the ball at the back post on our left-hand side, and we didn't defend them well enough. We've seen it again yesterday. They didn't capitalise on it as well as Aberdeen did, but there was one moment in the first half where, again, exact same ball, same back post, left-hand side, we couldn't defend it. And in the 93rd minute, and this is something that might get lost to the depths of time, there's a ball to the back post, same ball, and your man Mellon gets on the end of it.
Yeah.
If he headers the ball across Joe Hart's face of his goal, it could be pandemonium, chaos. If that ball ends up in, there's no coming back. It's a 2-2. There's no coming back. And I don't want to put a dampener on things. We win the game and we move on, absolutely. But that is niggling at me, the fact that we're so weak, we're so... You know, for me, with that wee vulnerability, at any time, no matter the quality of the opposition I've seen, we can be got at. And as Jerry already said, we've got to run with what we've got. So it's not as though we can bring someone in who can fill that gap in.
That's kind of where I'm at it, like with it as well. If you look back, even as far back as the Motherwell home game, back then, or Kilmarnock at home, or you know, any of these games around that period, we could at least at that point address and discuss, okay, how can we fix it, or who can come in? I think we're past that point now, because we've got four games to go and it's happened still week in, week out. So it's not going to change. I think we're obviously... The only thing you could do is try again, and a lot of people are calling for it, is take scales out of that team and see if maybe bringing in someone like Navrotchky can give a bit more solidity in terms of dealing with cross balls. Because right now, I feel like any time crosses are coming in the box, whether it's in open play or set pieces, throw-ins, I'm fearful of a goal, you know, or at least a chance created for the other side. So, and you look at who we're going to be playing against in the next couple of weeks, Kilmarnock and Hearts, teams again that have had joy against us from the season already, and particularly from set pieces. So I think we just have to ride it out and see what we can do, because I don't think any amount of training or any amount of working on it has seemed to have worked to this day. We're 34 games in, so I don't think there's going to be a quick fix, unfortunately. Again, it's part of the overhaul and the things that need to be dealt with in the summer. But from now until then, it's, you know, people are saying CCV's not looking himself. But again, I think a lot of that's down to his partner, you know, not being a sure head beside him. So naturally that can sometimes bring down your own performance. For me, I think I've been saying it for a while, I would like to see Navrotchky maybe give a longer run in the team, but with four games to go, I don't see the manager doing it. I think we're stuck with the back four that we've seen, and it's just whether we can ride out and score enough goals, because I think every game you're worried about us conceding. So it's going to be a case of whether we can outscore the opposition, and we're getting away with it at the moment. And let's hope we can continue to do so. I think yesterday the worry for me is, again, we go 2-0 up and you're hoping then we can just relax for the last 20 minutes and just have a nice kind of... I think if Hatate's goal goes in off the post, it's a, you know, it's, we all talk about that as a really kind of well done. We've seen out the difficult period but managed to recover it and get it over the line. But it's typical Celtic, never the easy way, is it? And look, at the end, I think Jerry asked a question last week about, are Celtic and Rangers poorer this season or are other teams better? I think yesterday showed an example of both. I watched both games, St Mirren Rangers and Celtic, Dundee Celtic, and I think both Celtic and Rangers are pretty poor right now. But I also thought Dundee and St Mirren are better than previous Dundee and St Mirren teams I've seen. So I think it's a bit of both, but it's definitely not going to go down as a vintage season. But I'm past the point of caring about that now. I just want to get the job done. I want to get in that Champions League next season, and I want to see the board actually do what they've promised now and make us be the best Celtic we can be. So that starts as soon as the full-time whistle and the end of the season's done. It's about gearing up for next season and making sure that we don't go through another season like this where it's so inconsistent and so poor in terms of recruitment.
You know, the thing that Asim said there, Jerry, there are some who think that because we've now got that attitude, and I have the exact same attitude whereby I just want this done as long as we win by almost any means necessary, because we do it fairly at Celtic. Like you were saying, Jerry, that's why you don't like time wasting. But there has been criticism for having that kind of attitude, in that it's almost as if our expectations have been diminished and we are falling for what the board want us to fall for. I don't think it's that at all. Because on the one hand, you're saying to yourself, right, let's just get this over the line. We know we're not great. We know that some of the options we've got are not particularly good, to the point where you're best to stick with what you know, i.e. Liam Scales in the defence. And then once we get to the summer, we need to see the changes. We need to see a new focus in terms of the recruitment, bringing in a better quality of football. It's as simple as that, Jerry. You can tie yourself up in knots about data analysis and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes just comes down to the guys we've bought aren't good enough. They're simply not good enough. You know, football. And John Sweeney alludes to this in his comment here, right? It says all about a recruitment of wingers in the summer. Our best winger looks like a 32-year-old who has been at Celtic for years. Right, by the same token, that's why Liam Scales is playing, because let's not forget, we spent money on Novroski, on Lagerbjerg, and we spent a loan fee between 1.5 to 2 million for half a season on Nat Phillips. So we've spent the guts of 8.5 million quid on centre-halves, and we're playing the guy that we got a few seasons back from Shamrock Rovers. Now, I know that his curve and all the rest of it has been incredible. And you know, he's probably performed better than any of us would have thought, Jerry. But really, if we want to progress, we shouldn't be playing Liam Scales at centre-half. And we probably shouldn't be playing James Forrest at left-wing either.
So it's mental when you say that. The positions we invested in the most are the ones that are the weakest at the end of the season. That is actually crazy. Will we celebrate this title? Will we go absolutely mad and cheer for the roof?
Oh, the Axom drone has already been booked. We're going up to the merch to film
it. Of course we'll party, but will we accept this again? Will we, hell? If you look at January, look at me. You can see I'm physically broken all the way through the transfer window in January. I start off really excited, thinking it's going to do well, and then I'm broken. And I even say it was a disgrace, our window. We're not good enough. The quality isn't there. But I also accept that that's what we've got, and I support my club. No matter if they've recruited well or not, we've got to support who's there. And we have done that, but we're not gonna let it paper over the cracks of some terrible, and let's face it, terrible transfer windows. We were getting so cocky with the great windows we had, but if you look at that, they've been worse than terrible. They've been lax out type of terrible. That's how bad they've been. So
How did you manage to bring him into this equation?
That's the measure, isn't it? That's the measure. The pelters we were getting with that one. I just think Brendan's already said that there was players in January that wanted to come, but they couldn't because their clubs wouldn't let them at the time, which says to me a couple of good things, that we've got players maybe lined up wanting to come already, and if their club didn't want to let them go in January, they might be a pretty decent player then. So if they weren't that good, they would have let them come. So I'm hoping, I want to see some players announced before the Scottish Cup final. That's how quick I'm wanting this business done. I want them up and running.
I'm wanting them modelling the new jerseys, Jerry.
Aye. Dyson Maida's probably signed them up already for us. He's probably been out doing all the work for us.
But so you make a good point. You make a good point, Paul John, about diminished ambition or you know, as you say, because now we're here at the end of the season again, and essentially it's all about being just that wee bit better than Rangers. But I think there's a difference this time. I think we're all you know, the board banking is all at the end of the season, being absolutely buzzing again, buying all the merchandise, buying all the season tickets. Look, season ticket wise, I'm guilty of it. No matter how unhappy I might be, I'll probably still be there. Right? And I know we've had these plenty of discussions throughout the season as to, you know, if you have that kind of attitude, it's not going to change, all that kind of things. But I think for me, if we get this job done, it's not going to be one of those people saying, oh, it might be one of the sweetest titles. But it won't be for me because, you know, I'll absolutely revel in it. And like Jerry says, we'll absolutely go mental and celebrate it. Brilliant. But I think there's an awareness that it's been pretty dire for a long part of it, and I think there's an awareness that things have to change. And for me, I'm hopeful in the fact that Rodgers will not allow for this again. You know, I've backed the manager by and large. I don't think he's been blameless throughout this season, but I think if he's happy to stay another summer and season, I think it will be under his conditions now, and I think he'll ensure that he might have trusted the recruitment in the summer, but I think he'll be more hands-on this time. And I think we'll see a slightly different profile of player that we go for in the summer this time. So for me, I think I could just be, you know, getting the wheel pull over my eyes again. But I think if we get the job done, then I'm hopeful that we will see a change in where the club are headed in the summer.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And I keep saying it, you know, there's nothing wrong with sitting here and saying, well, you know, no matter what happens, we need to win this league. It doesn't mean that our ambitions have dropped. It's just that, you know, that is the be-all and end-all, actually, in terms of Celtic Football Club, is winning the league. Everything else, but you know, comes second to that. But then we need to get back to the drawing board and we need to really start planning. As of the summer, the Green Machine, welcome to the show. You're watching on YouTube. You can tune into the Axon Bulletin on Facebook as well, LinkedIn, Twitch, X, and also Instagram. We're on the gram. I don't know how to use it. I just know how to stream. So if anybody's been getting in touch with us and I've not got back to you, apologies in advance. Green Machine, at Celtic, you must make it happen from the get-go and every game after that, not just the end of the season. I've spoken to players who played under the great Jock Steen, and a massive part of their approach to games was to start quick. And I think that when you watch the Ange Postecoglou teams, it was all about, you know, straight off the bat, starting quick. We seem to have played ourselves into so many games this season to the point where we've been sitting at half-time during the match days, a lot of the time at nothing each. And you're just thinking, right, the next 10 minutes is going to make or break this game. Thankfully, in recent times, we have gone on to score the first goal and win the game. But yeah, absolutely, we need to be making it happen from the first kick of the ball. I want to talk a wee bit about the midfield. Now, it's not about... Listen, Jerry, I love the fact that Celtic are an entertaining side. I mean, you spoke about winning and winning right and all that. And I love teams that didn't even win, like Tommy Burns' side, one of the best teams I ever watched. We only won one Scottish Cup. However, I'm now looking at the midfield, right? And I think it's a bit powder puff. And what I mean by that is our three best midfielders, in my view, are Rio Hatate, Matt O'Reilly and Callum McGregor. And I can say that with some distance. I quite like elements of Iwata's game and Bernardo's game, but I don't think they're anywhere near those three as individuals, Jerry. So I was delighted when, firstly, Hatate comes back and then McGregor comes back. I'm thinking, right at the perfect time for the running. Neither of them, in my view, is anywhere near their peak. And that I think it's down to sharpness and fitness. But even when they get to that point, Jerry, what I'm now getting a bit concerned about, and it's probably taken me all season to come to this conclusion, is I feel that we're a bit weak. I think we're a wee bit weak in midfield. And what I mean by that is the fight, the actual physicality. And, you know, I seen it yesterday. I seen a player in Silla who seemed to dominate our midfield area. I've seen games in the past where we've lost the midfield and you know, the result of that has been that we've lost the game. I think all three players are fantastic, but I do feel that we lack a wee bit of bite. Is that something that you... Do you share that view, Jerry?
Yeah, yesterday, I think it was about 20 minutes in, and it's right about the 20-minute mark, and there was a passage of play, and I thought, I've not seen our midfield look that disjointed in a long time. There were headless chickens at one point. I think all three pretty much had a poor 90 across the field, well, the times that were on the park. I don't think they were great. Some glimpses. I think that's down to, though, it's been so disjointed all season. Mm-hmm. They haven't had a chance, the three of them, to play together for any long periods of time. There's been so much doubt thrown at them. With the Odin, likes of Odin Holm coming into it, you had Kwon at the start of the season. There's so many. There's never been any real momentum for them. They can't build any up, and I think that's had a big part to play in it. Is there a bit of disruptions that there's a few of them having some arguments? I don't know. They just didn't seem to be as communicating as well yesterday as what we'd seen in the past either. So I don't know if it's down to fatigue, not having that momentum, or just putting it down to having one of those seasons that will all get put right again next season. Like, you can't doubt them individually, but collectively they've just not been doing it throughout the season.
You used a good word there, fatigue. I think that Matt O'Reilly has suffered fatigue because the one constant I seen from start to finish, the one constant seems to have been Matt O'Reilly. And when a player like Matt McGregor drops out, or a player like Hatate, or both drop out, I feel as though he's been carrying the weight quite a bit. And then, as Jerry says, you've had Bernardo in there, Iwata, you've had Odin Holm in there at certain times, even David Turnbull earlier on, and the one constant's been O'Reilly. Turnbull, he was talking about leaving Celtic there as well. But I think Matt O'Reilly's probably knackered, but we're not at a stage where we can actually give him a rest. And you want Hatate and McGregor to play 90, 95 minutes or 60 minutes in Callum's case to get up to peak fitness, because they didn't look on it at all. But I think over and above that, even when they're at their best, I'm still a bit concerned about how hard we are in the midfield. I think we're a bit weak. Asim, what's your view on that?
Yeah, apologies, guys, for any kind of background noise. I'm not working from home today, so if the volume's a bit off, just let me know. But yeah, midfield-wise, I agree. I think McGregor's obviously just doesn't look fully fit right now still. You're hoping he just peaks right in time for that Derby game. He's getting 60-odd minutes each game right now, but he just seems off it. He's not had his best season, by all accounts, even when fully fit. But he's still a massive player for us, just for his presence and things. And you just hope he'll be ready for the last few games, back to his best. Hatate, you've seen how much of a difference he's made since he's came back. But yeah, I thought even him yesterday wasn't at his best. And as for Matt O'Reilly, yeah, he's been our constant all season. When everyone else has maybe had spells out, whether it's injury, form, he's the one that's had to start, you know, every game pretty much. And you can see that he dropped off after the winter break for a while, and then he picked it up again. And yeah, we're not going to get, you know, the absolute best of him when he's having to play week in, week out. He does need a bit of support in there. And I think like Salwata yesterday came on and did well. I've not been his biggest fan at times, but I think I've always said there's a role for him when he comes on and can maybe help shore a game up or give us a bit of control again. And Bernardo, I still think there's a player in Bernardo. I still think there's something there for him, but you know, he's one that's going to divide opinion in terms of whether we should sign him. You just hope, he can play a big part in the last four games and help us get over the line. I totally forgot about Odenholm when you mentioned him there. He's another one that came with a lot of chat and a lot of potential. You know, everyone said he's kind of one of the next big things in midfield, and we've just not seen him at all for the last week, for the last few months even, sorry. So yeah, I wonder what the plans are for him as well. But yeah, we've got a lot of players in these areas, and as Jerry said, it's the areas where we probably recruited the most, but it seems the most problematic areas. I remember at Brendan Rodgers' first press conference at the start of the season, and he said one of the things he really wants to bring into the Celtic team was physicality and dynamism. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing that you look at us 34 games in and you think, what do we lack? That's exactly it. So you hope, again, that's a priority to fix. We need a midfield enforcer, not just in midfield, I think, across the pitch. We need more athletes. You see the difference when you watch European teams. You see us against European sides. You know, it's that athleticism, it's that physicality that we can't match at times. So I hope that's a priority. And I agree with you. I think we're a bit lightweight at times. And it really shows up when we're playing against teams that are a bit more physical. We seem to struggle.
Yeah, you're right. And by the way, it's been pointed out, because I was talking about it yesterday after the game, and we were thinking about midfielders of that ilk that we've had in the past, Jerry, and the one that came to my mind was Victor Wanyama.
Big Victor.
Yeah, he was brilliant. He was commanding, absolutely. And, you know, I just visualised the big towering kind of presence that he was. I mean, when he scores that goal against Barcelona, and, you know, nobody's coming near him in terms of the physicality. And that was the example I gave yesterday, but it was pointed out to me by a cousin of mine from a place in Fife called High Valleyfield. And I'm going to name check him because he's called Hot Plate. Now, I'm going to explain to you, Jerry, where the nickname comes from. Everybody's got a nickname, right, around about these parts. Can you remember CB radios? Can you remember
CB radios? Oh, aye, aye.
And everybody had like a call sign. You remember that? Right? Anybody in the comment section, let us know your call sign. Maybe that's what your name is.
There were some call signs out there, by the way. So.
I bet there was. Aye, that was like an early version of Tinder, wasn't it? Aye, over the CB radio. Was it? I don't know. I never used it. I
definitely wasn't using my CB for chatting folk up, mate. That's for sure. It was mostly truck drivers you would get.
It was truck drivers out of the big aerials. And then every time you saw that mental aerial coming out of something, you're like, all right, I know what you're up to. Right. But what he pointed out is a very good point, is a player called Bobby Collins. Now, for anyone not of that vintage, and it was certainly well before my time, Bobby Collins played in the 7-1 game. Like, this shows you how far back we're going. 1957, winning Celtic the League Cup. He played 10 seasons for Celtic before going to Everton, right? But he eventually ended up at Leeds, and he played under Don Revie, believe it or not, at Leeds. He captained Leeds in the 1965 FA Cup final against Liverpool. He was a player of the year that season. He worked in Valleyfield Pit, and lived in a place called Toryburn, not politically named, I've got to say.
Right.
And he was just a wee guy. This is the point. Bobby Collins was just a wee guy, but he was, I think his nickname was the wee batter. Nobody would cross him. Nobody would get past him. He had the strength. It was like the old saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. That was Bobby Collins. And I don't even think we've got one of them in the team, Jerry. I don't even know if they exist in the modern game.
Would you have said Paul Hartley was that type of player back then?
He had a bit of that bite. Barry Robson had a bit of that bite, didn't he?
I really did. Obviously, Neil Lennon. But we haven't had someone like that. I remember a lot of people getting wound up, like Kyogo helping players with cramp and things like that in the opposition position team. And it's like, well, look, we know he's a polite, but that kind of thing you don't want to see in the game. You do want to see a bit of bite and a bit of... what would you call it? The general that they all say, isn't it? That midfield general. You need someone. Who is that? Carter Vickers. For all he's a big, strong guy, he seems quite timid. Not timid. Personality. I wouldn't say that to his face. I've felt his back. He's built like a statue.
Is he another one that's giving you a hug, Jerry? You're just going and cuddling all the
selfies. I gave him a cheeky wee pat in the back. I got into trouble because we were up to interview him when we came out, asked for a selfie, and the woman at Celtic was like, no. So I gave him a wee pat in the back, nearly broke my hand. But we don't really have that kind of snarling.
I would love to see him playing alongside somebody like that right now, like a non-injured Jozo Simunovic playing alongside Cameron Carter-Vickers, a Jason Denier playing alongside Carter-Vickers. You know, someone who can command the area. I think Carter-Vickers is probably suffering that at the back, just as O'Reilly is suffering it in the midfield.
Yeah, because for all people criticised Starfelt at times, like I think, you know, a lot of fans by the end of it realise and appreciate, and even now in his absence, appreciate how important a player and how good he was. But he was quite aggressive, you know, and he was a kind of front foot. He used to really read the game well and intercept well. And Carter Vickers was a more kind of dominant, assured in general play. So they had a really good combination. And I think it's about finding partnerships that complement each other. I think that's where we struggled, whether it's your right back and your winger or your midfield partnerships not working centre, but we've just not found consistent partnerships all season across the pitch. But just when we're talking about that physicality, it takes me back to some of Martin O'Neill's stories from the other night about Bobo Baldé. And you just look across that whole team though, whether they were wee guys like your Larsons or your McNamara, they still had that personality, but then it was complemented with your big physical Sutton, Hartson, Mialbi, Bobo Baldé. So we had a right good balance. Any teams feared us, whether as soon as you're walking out the tunnel, you know, you're looking next to you and you've got all these big giants, set pieces, just in terms of mentality. And that's the last time Celtic were really, really feared, and even in the continent, teams feared us, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to have that right balance of, like you say, a bit of physicality, a bit of presence, but also good quality players. And that's where you just feel that we are lacking in terms of balance right now. You mentioned Paul Hartley and Barry Robson. For all they might lack in technical ability at times, you know, they weren't short of that either. But that running, which got us through to get that three in a row, and, you know, under Gordon Strachan, they were a big factor in that because of their mentality. Like you said, that kind of midfield dynamism and just, you know, getting tackles in. And even if you look, that was the team under Strachan, which, you know, I remember it well. It wasn't the greatest team to watch, but we got to two last 16s in Europe because we were bigger than we might not have had the individual players at times, but collectively we were hard to beat. We had that mentality. So, yeah, I think that's where we really have to try and work on getting the right recruitment in summer and making sure we get a better balance in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need a goalkeeper the defence is scared of. That defence was too scared to slip up in front of Boric sometimes. That's why they were so good. You need that fear factor in the sticks as well, I think.
No, you do. A commanding keeper. Joe Hart, I think, has been a revelation. I think the 3 years at the end of his career were probably unexpected. I don't think he expected to fall in love with a club like Celtic, and he had no prior connection to us. Absolutely brilliant, and hopefully he can he can chop it off with a double. But yeah, and looking at replacing him, Jerry, I agree with you. I think you need a really commanding goalie. It's one of the things that even yesterday I seen reluctant to come off your line, sometimes punching the ball when you really just want him to come out and grab it out the air. Stevie Boy, O'Neill liked a big specimen. He absolutely did. And Ian Roy is telling us Paul Elliott was a superb defender. Paul Elliott until recently was in my all-time Celtic 11, and he only played two seasons at Celtic. He was unbelievable in the tackle. Any chance of Virgil coming back? Oh, I don't know. Maybe in about 10 years for one of the Legends games, and Jamesy Forrest will still be playing left wing for Celtic. At the time,
Mikey Johnson will still be on loan.
This is the season, Jerry. This is the season. It's going to work. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved. That's incredible. 1,600 live we peaked at there today on the Axon Bulletin. And we are talking about getting another one scored off the list. Four league games to go. Can we do it? I think we can, actually. Yes. Thank you all for getting involved. And thank you to Jerry Taylor and Asim Rabbani for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Network.